And here we go. It's the Stairway. A little week two recap, week three preview. First victory of the year in the books. With me, as always, my co-host, Bad News, B-Rai. B-Rai, what's up this evening?
What's up, Mikey? Just, you know, trending in a better direction this week. Got the win. Don't necessarily feel great about it, but a win's a win, man. This is the AFC North. Wins are hard to come by. They're never pretty. So we'll dive into it and kind of talk through what we mean by that.
Yeah, you know, they don't ask how. They just ask how many, right? I feel like that's probably something Tomlin has said at some point. I don't know about you, man, but that game took, I feel like, maybe a year off my life, I want to say. Just in terms of length and stress, yeah. I mean, just what a crazy game. I was trying to keep an eye on the other one, too. I wasn't a big fan of those two slot fests overlapping on Monday night. I was going to say I had to pay attention to that Saints game for fantasy purposes, and it was just tough bouncing back and forth. YouTube TV doesn't have a recall function. That makes it extra tough. But yeah, I'm sure you would agree that, man, just what a classic AFC North, slobber knocker that was, right?
Yeah. I like a lot of football, throw a bunch of games on, but they were like forcing it down our throats with the screen at the same time. Like there's some key stealer plays happening where, I wanted to get a good look at it, but they kept putting both games on. Kind of annoying, but you know, I think they're trying something out here. I did hear something about there being a little bit more, maybe some more Monday night games in the future with doubleheaders. But yeah, it was a classic Steeler-Brown game. Really ugly. I'm still trying to catch up on sleep from it. It felt like it was 2 days long, but, you know, a win's a win. And you know, hopefully we can learn a lot from this game.
Yeah, you'll take it when you can get it for sure. And be right, it didn't take long for our team to kind of get off the schneid and equal our point total from the entire week one. Right off the bat, Alex Highsmith gets the tip, takes it to the house. Be right, how important was that to have a big play right off the bat like that and get us on the board? Defense just stepping up right away.
Especially at home, we had the crowd showed up. I know that was an issue with the game one, but the crowd showed up, all Steeler fans waving their towels. It got them going early. It got the juices flowing. And I think from there, just the defense just was confident, running around fast, teeing up on third downs. It really, you know, it's what we needed. It's something early on.
Yeah, no doubt. But the other side of the ball, B-Rod, the side that's supposed to score all your points, came out right after that. And Matt Canada said, you know what, Steelers Nation, I hear you. I hear you. Three passes, B-Rod, on the first series. However, the third one ends up with an interception. So we're not off to a good start. That was the theme for the rest of the game. The Browns ran. Obviously, they lost Nick Chubb to a horrible injury. And, you know, even we know we have a big rivalry, I think Steelers Nation responded, yeah, you know, in a good way. I think we all feel bad. He's a classy guy. As Tomlin calls him Mr. Chubb. He's obviously highly respected within that rivalry. Unfortunately, we also lost Minka, I think, on the same play. I'm not sure if he came. Did he come back into the game and then was out on the Minka injury? So,
yeah, he did.
We'll get into the injury report here a little bit later. But B-Rai, I mean, the theme of the game was offensive ineptitude, really. Again, just struggling to get first downs, playing behind the sticks. Last week I kept saying playing behind the chains. I think that means something different. That sounds like, I don't know, some type of prison slang or something. It's playing behind the sticks. Is the correct football analogy, meaning you're getting yourselves into third downs that are tough to get for some reason. The Steelers just kept fighting against themselves, it seemed like. Offensive line, another poor showing, quite frankly. Pickett was uneasy, gun-shy the whole game, just struggling to find the rhythm other than that big play, obviously, for the touchdown to Pickens, which is more or less a broken play. I mean, you want to see more of those, obviously. But after that, I mean, B-Rye, they couldn't string together drives. The defense had to keep coming back out there. Luckily for us, they were ready to play. They were juiced, and they won a game at the end with a Highsmith strip sack, TJ Watt recovery, the dynamic duo on the ends coming up huge for the victory. B-Rye, I mean, how awesome was this defense and making these splash plays at the key time, and how important was it for us?
When you can have just an elite pass rusher on each end. I mean, it's been a couple years, you know, the years where we had Lamar Woodley in his prime and Harrison coming off the edge. If you go back a little earlier, back in the 90s, Lloyd and Kevin Green, everyone loves those days. This is as good as that. This, you know, you have TJ who just broke the sack record. You have Highsmith just won AFC Defensive Player of the Week. They're playing really good. I don't know how you block them. You know, they go up against, sometimes they get double, triple teamed on plays and they still find a way to get pressure. So this is something that, you know, when they say defense wins championships, this is really big when you play teams like, you know, the Chiefs or, you know, some of the best quarterbacks in the league. If you can get there quick, it just changes everything.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned TJ breaking the sack record. I mean, that is quite the accomplishment. I know they didn't start recording sacks as an official stat to what, the early 80s, late 70s or something like that. It's kind of surprising how late or how long it took them to start recording that as an official statistic. I'd be interested to see from the Steelers historians what some of those Steel Curtain guys ended up with. But nonetheless, what an accomplishment for TJ in a relatively short amount of time. I think we talked about it last week, second only to Reggie White in terms of the number of sacks it's taken him to get to 80 career sacks or whatever it is he landed at. Highsmith, you know, the question with him, he got paid this offseason, is how would he perform without Watt? Well, guess what? It doesn't matter if Watt's playing. And both of them together, man, it's tough to contain. B-Rye, on the defense, though, I did notice a lot of other guys stepping up to make splash plays as well. I think you had Montrevious Adams, was it, who had the punch out on the, what was a 4th-and-1? Watson kept it, and the punch out knocked the ball back, and I was like, oh boy, here comes another Tomlin lost challenge on some obscure play like that, where it's very hard to tell, and I'm honestly still kind of surprised they overturned that first down call. But a big play to key time. Herbig rotated in there, had some pressure on Watson, drew one of Watson's two offensive face masking on the stiff arm penalties, which, you know, you could tell it was driving him. He's going to be a part of this rivalry, B-Rye, as long as he's a quarterback. He did not endear himself as Steelers fans. He had the touchdown earlier in the game. He threw the ball to fans, as far as I'm concerned. You know, he throws it at the back. Well, he's trying to hit a fan, most likely. Just totally classless play from Deshaun Watson. Keanu Neal had a nice pass breakup. Patrick Peterson had a few nice coverages. Yeah. And B-Rye, we talked about this last time. Joey Porter, big pass breakup early in the game. And, of course, the some will call it questionable, but that's what good cornerbacks get away with, right? Those borderline plays. He had a little bit of a hold there at just the right time and sealed the game for him at the end. How big was it, B-Rye, for rookies like Herbig and Porter to finally have an impact on the game other than your big two there we just talked about?
So, I mean, you need that injection of youth on this team, especially when the defense is out there all game long. The offense is just not sustaining drives. They're not helping them out. So you need some young blood in there, giving the veterans a little bit of rest. They're gaining valuable experience along the way where, you know, that's going to just build up as the season goes on. We'll be asking more of them, I'm sure, as the season does go along.
Yep. Quan Alexander had a nice tackle for loss. Landon Roberts, nice stuff at the goal line right before a touchdown, unfortunately. But they're making plays at the right times. Yeah. Larry O, we talked about Larry O.
Oh, yeah.
Had some good pressure. And, you know, as long as he can stay healthy, that's what we need from him, disrupting back there. So, B-Rye, overall mixed bag. Obviously, the defense can win you a championship, but you need some form of an offense, right? Yeah. We talked a little bit about the chance B-Rai for Fire Canada, which for a classy town like Pittsburgh, I mean, you don't see that very often. Tomlin had to acknowledge it with a classic Tomlinism. What did he call it? He's like, we want to see him fat, sassy, and spoiled.
And spoiled, yeah.
I mean, just a classic. I don't know how spoiled we are recently. I would used to call it spoiled. Fat and sassy, probably. But, I mean, come on, B-Rai. This offense is leaving so much out there, so much to be desired. But with all that being said, maybe there were a few positives. B-Rai, why don't you give me some positive takeaways, positive players, from this win against the Browns?
So on the defensive side of the ball, obviously, you know, Highsmith and Watt, first and foremost. Outside of them two, I'd say Larry O. He just consistently was making plays. He seemed to be on the field a little bit more than the previous week, which is a great sign since he's been battling a lot of health issues. And it's not like there haven't been any major issues that I know, but it's been the nagging stuff, missing practice, not probably playing around, if I had to guess, like 60% of snaps. He seemed to be on the field a lot more. He was consistently going against the run game, making plays, and then just constant pressure. And for a big guy like that, that's huge, especially with Cam out still. On the offensive side of the ball, obviously Pickens looked good. I think they threw about 10 targets, only 4 catches, but I would guess a lot of that has to do with just, you know, inaccuracy by Pickett. But 127 yards and breaking off that 71 yarder was just huge. Just got things going. Other than that, Jalen Warren looked good in the passing game. He had 4 catches on 6 targets for 66 yards. He kind of, you know, gave them a little bit of energy. Other than that, not much positive.
Yeah, on the defensive side of the ball, B-Rai alluded to it, division of labor. You know, it was more than just your splash plays with Watt and Highsmith, obviously, for the scores. But you had, I believe, Leal got credited with a sack. Like we said, Adams. And to be the rookies stepping up in big moments, Porter with a big pass breakup, I think forced the field goal. And then, of course, the play to seal the game. Kwan had a tackle for a loss. He showed up there. He also had 8 solo tackles in the game. Cole Holcomb with a couple decent plays as well. Keanu Neal had a nice play. Yeah, Leal got credit for a sack and tackle for loss. Marcus Golden also. Elijah Riley with that kind of missile stop on Watson got credit for a sack there. I mean, you look at up and down the score sheet here, B-Rai, and just all kind of guys making plays, and they show up on film. So for me, defense, it's more than just, like you said, the big two. Obviously, we give them full credit. They basically won the game for us. But just guys all throughout the lineup making plays. A big credit here in a bounce back game, B-Rai, to Presley Harvin. I think we'd be remiss without talking about him. He got a lot of practice. He gets a lot of tries to make it happen, but he had some key punts to pin them deep. One beautiful coffin corner, another one pinned down, I think, inside the 5. One that probably could have went to the 1-inch line. I think it was Herbig who downed it probably earlier than he should have, honestly. It would have kept rolling probably perfectly. Even so, you can't ask for more. Now, that punt did not travel far in the air. It rolled, but hey, maybe he intended for it to, you know, get the nice roll there. If so, credit to him. But you can't be upset with Presley Harvin the third, right? He's the third? Yeah, Presley Harvin the third.
Yeah.
So big bounce back game after a questionable week one from him. On the offensive side of the ball, yeah, Pickens had the big touchdown catch, but I do want to give some credit to Jalen Warren. We just talked about him on the Fantasy Funkhouse pod. I actually picked him as my smash of the week, B-Rai. Najee did have a decent yard per carry, but again, just not explosive. He had 4.3, Najee had. Warren had 3.3, so not a good game on the ground, but he made some plays happen out of the backfield. Some of their bigger plays for first downs happened when we gave him the ball in space. He fought for some extra yards. Yeah. And I think we need to see more of him, B-Rai. We need to give him some chances to get warmed up. Let's give him some of those dump offs. And I alluded to it in the podcast. I want to see more from him in the Raiders game because I expect Kenny to get pressured. And let's see more of an even distribution there and get him more involved. I do think he was a positive in getting us some first downs there. So I'll give him a plus in this one. What about negatives, B-Roy? What do we got to clean up after this game?
So I'm still a little bit worried about a run defense without Cam there. I feel like if injury didn't happen, Chubb probably would have ran for a buck 50 at least. So definitely need to shore some things up. I think we actually called up Braden Fehoko. Did I pronounce that right? Big nose tackle we got in the offseason as a free agent. So I don't know if they plan on using him, but we definitely gotta, you know, be ready for some of these running backs we have coming up. We'll touch on Josh Jacobs here a little bit later, but gotta shore up that defense for sure.
Yeah, you know, I still want to see him clean up some of the penalties as well, B-Rai. A big negative for me is Gunner Olszewski.
Oh gosh.
After the ridiculous play that I don't even think we touched on with the catching it on the kickoff prior to it going out of bounds the week prior. First play he gets, we talked about it. A little little swing pass, flare pass, screen pass, whatever you want to call it. Typical Matt Canada 2-yarder or less pass to him. He just gets lit up and fumbles it. I don't want to pile on the guy, but it just seems like any time he touches the ball for us, just nothing good comes of it. So I got to give a big negative to him. And B-Rai, another big negative I'm going to deal out here is to Levi Wallace. He was kind of getting picked on. Cooper was picking him apart all game. We need a better performance from him. If we can get him and Patrick Peterson making the plays on the ball and then bring Porter in as well to complement that and see him continue to grow, I'd feel a lot better about our secondary. Mink is going to be a big loss no matter what. Elijah Riley, I am anxious to see more of him. He does make some plays. But we need Minka back there, and we definitely need better coverage from Levi Wallace. It seems like any time they were getting a critical third down or a big pass play, it was Wallace at the receiving end of that in coverage. So I think we need to clean that up. And again, B-Rai, you mentioned it. I mean, even with Cam in there, people were running the ball against them. This is a big concern. The Browns did go over a buck 60 rushing between Chubb and Ford. After the Chubb injury, obviously, you know, a big chunk of that was on that one rush. But you saw a play, they had him pinned in the backfield, couldn't get him down. It just seems like they were getting 4, 5, 6 yards at a clip, and you don't want to see that. You want to see him stuff him more. Yeah. So those are my negatives on this one, B-Rai. And just as an interesting statistic, I see you're the only player on the box score here not credited with a tackle was Joey Porter Jr. Everyone else credited with a solo tackle. Benton actually did not have any solo tackles either. I was a little bit surprised we didn't see him more on film. Armand Watts had a nice pressure on the quarterback as well. So all these guys showing up. Leal, I'm excited about.
I did have one other weakness. Just I wanted to talk a minute about the offensive line in general. Mm-hmm. Just no push. I know the Browns have a pretty good defense, but there's been no push. Kenny, I feel like the pocket kept getting collapsed constantly. I'd say the worst person on that line, the worst performer on that line last week was Chukwuma Okafor. I think he had 2 false start penalties and just like was getting pushed around left and right.
Yeah, the offensive line is what I think probably the area we expected to see the biggest progression, right, with the free agents they brought in. And so far, they just have not gelled. Now, typically, I think, B-Rai, as the year goes on, you're going to see that line kind of get more cohesive. But it's very fair to criticize them at this point. I think with Siamolu they brought in, Obviously, you spend a high round pick on Broderick Jones, who I'm not sure how many snaps he logged, B-Rye, but I didn't notice him out there quite as much. Okorafor did not have a good game, false start, penalty as well. So we definitely need to see more out of them, no doubt. Any final thoughts there on this slop fest of a game against Cleveland on Monday night?
I think we should probably touch on Canada a little bit here. Obviously, you know, easy target, but there were just a number of different plays that made no sense. What was the one? It was like third and one, and we were just trying to get a first down. Yeah. We didn't get a first down the entire first quarter.
Yep.
I don't know if this was later in the game, but it was third and one. He went into shotgun and just, I think he handed the ball off from shotgun, and we just got tackled like behind the line of scrimmage. And it was just some of the worst play calling I've ever seen. I didn't see Freiermuth get targeted once.
Maybe he got
one catch. Calvin Austin, you know, fast guy, didn't really see him involved very much. So maybe it was Kenny not, you know, finding them open. Maybe it was part of the play calling, but you know, that's got to change. You gotta get the ball in the hands of your playmakers.
Yeah, that's what you heard. That's what you heard from the Heinz Field faithful, B-Ryan. Like I said, a classy city like Pittsburgh, you really got to be bad for them to start chanting, fire you, lose your job. I mean, this is a town where people lost their jobs. They lost the steel mills, that whole industry down. We don't want to see anybody lose their job. So it's got to be bad when you're calling for somebody's head like that. We saw it with Penguins fans. Last year, fire Hextall. I mean, and that was just as bad. I mean, just egregious errors. I just don't trust the guy. Just the looks of him. Like, he looks like a seedy, like, used car salesman, like someone who's going to try to get one over on you. He wasn't reliable in college either. I don't know, B-Rye. I mean, come on. This is the NFL. You have a bunch of professionals. Surely we can implement some modicum of the existing offense to where the players are comfortable. I think if this continues for another couple of weeks, you have to do something, because we cannot continue wondering what could this young offense have been. What could Kenny Pickett have been if we had fired him earlier and replaced him and tried something else? We have to know that. I mean, it's just not enough points to survive in today's NFL, B-Roy. You can't expect the defense to continue to bail you out like that. So
absolutely,
it's going to be interesting. The statistics are all there, B-Roy. I mean, their inability to score 21 points, I think it is not good. They didn't do it again. They have 19 points in two games. You know, I think they put up 12 right on the board this week. Defense put up 14 and they put up 7 the week before, and 7 of those 12 points were on broken plays. They couldn't get a 2-point conversion. I want to say that's another negative too. I'd want to see the defense. The Browns got 2 2-point conversions, successful conversions there. We did not. Those are little things that will lose you games. So, yeah, B-Rye, lots to take away from that game. And I think it's the obvious, right? The defense is good. They showed up. And you love to see that against a divisional opponent, kind of set the tone for the rest of the year. And the offense needs a lot of work still. And I don't know if we learned a lot, but I did like what we saw from some of the younger guys and the defense kind of scattered around making plays. So some more to look forward to there for sure. All right, B-Rye, we're going to transition into the next week as we get ready here. B-Rye, where do we stand with the injuries heading into this week? You have the injury report up. Let's go over that if you can.
I do. So keep in mind, this is a short week for the Steelers. So some of the signs you see with players practicing on a Wednesday, which is when we're recording, They're not as telling as they typically are. So we had Patrick Peterson didn't practice. KZ, Minka, Marcus Golden, Isaac Seumalo, Darnell Washington, Gunner, and Larry O. I would say that it's unlikely that Gunner's going to play with that concussion. We also have Minka. Things are looking pretty good. He had a chest contusion. They sent him to the hospital just to, as a preventative measure to make sure things are good. Things sound positive there. I wouldn't be surprised if he played this week. Roberts, he had that stinger. He should be fine. Also, of note, Deontay and McFarland were placed on the IR. So, excited to get Deontay back. Anthony, he's shown some good things, but he seems to always end up missing some games here and there. So that's been a struggle so far.
Yeah, he was a positive in the return game. I was looking forward to seeing more of him this year. Looks like they signed running back Godwin Igwebuike from the Falcons practice squad today. So that's not a good sign for McFarland. They also brought in, Cadre Allison as well.
Yeah.
Former Pitt running back. He was a decent running back there for Pitt for several years. So looks like McFarland, you said he's on IR now. So he'll be gone for at least four games there. Overall, I guess we got to see how the week develops. It's another primetime game, B-Rai, Sunday night this time. You know, B-Rai, waiting all day for Sunday night. It's a catchy song. It's a catchy song, but I don't think I can agree with that. You know, I think as soon as kind of midday Saturday hits, I'm dreading Sunday night just because it's just a bad feeling. Like, you got to get up and you got to go to work. And really the only thing that can save you is, quite honestly, Steelers football. And we do get it this Sunday night. We're going out to Vegas. We'll see how these injuries develop. There are some concerning ones for sure, but hopefully we can resolve them there by Sunday evening against the Raiders. B-Rai, classic rivalry. Seems like they kind of had our number the last several years, although we have pulled out some victories. What do we got to do, B-Rai, to beat the Raiders? Who do we got to look out for on their side of the ball? Who do we have to pay attention to for Vegas?
Well, I would say on the offensive side of the ball, Jacobs hasn't looked, too great so far this year. He was sitting out looking for a new contract a lot of the offseason. So I think he was a little rusty. I wouldn't, but really I wouldn't be surprised if he gets back on track here. He was the former rushing champ last season. I think the Steelers are kind of ripe for the picking as far as the run game goes. So that's going to be an interesting matchup, whether or not he can get back on track. So I would say that's the biggest focus here, because really Garoppolo, I'm not too afraid of. Sure, he has some weapons. He's got Devontae, who he had a concussion, I believe, last week, but it looks like he's trending towards playing. Yep. They're likely going to get Jacoby Myers back after his week one concussion. So a couple weapons there. I just don't think Garoppolo's anyone who, I fear, but we still got to show up. We got to play tight defense, got to communicate, and hopefully the gelling that I saw last week continues with these new players. As far as the offensive side of the ball goes, I think the biggest battle there is the pass rush with what's his name?
Crosby.
Crosby, yes. Yes. So Crosby is obviously a challenge, and I think he's a mismatch. So got a game plan against him for the most part.
Yeah, that's the highlight of this matchup, I think, B-Rai, is this pass rushers, Crosby versus obviously the Steelers duo there. Crosby, I think, prides himself on being the premier edge rusher, one of the premier edge rushers in the league. You know, he's going to be licking his chops against that Steelers offensive line. We got to find a way to stop him. Darnell Washington was, again, heavily involved in the blocking game. I thought he was a little banged up too, but it looks like he escaped injury. So I want to see him out there. We got to neutralize Crosby for sure, because we just need to give Kenny more time to get comfortable and get this offense in a rhythm, no doubt. And then I agree with you. you know, Jacobs has not looked strong to start the season, but if he's going to knock the rust off, man, it does look like the Steelers might be the team to do that against, because we're just a sieve in stopping that run. But we have the players still there, B-Rye, Larry O, Benton. I mean, I just want to continue to see progression from them. And if they can stop the run, I feel really good about our chances this week. Ooh, you know what, B-Rye? You know, when you go to Vegas, in the hockey world, they say you play better a little bit guilty. Sunday night, you know, maybe they go out to the casinos. Maybe they have a few drinks. Maybe they play, coming to Sunday, playing a little bit guilty. Have a little fun, little bonding, get away from Acrisure Stadium, get away from the priorities there at home. And it seems like the Raiders, if they can take care of those two matchups, the pass rush and stopping the run, I think the Steelers will be in good shape. But this offense has to find its groove, B-Rye. There's going to be a lot of Steelers fans there, I'm sure. I'm actually going to take the Steelers in this one. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd agree. I think we can find some mismatches in the offense. As rough as we've been so far, I think there's some key players that are going to step up this week. Freiermuth, I think he's due for a big game. They have Robert Spillane in the middle of the field there. As we all know, he can thump a little bit, but he can't cover it all. So I think Muth's going to go off.
Yep.
But yeah, just really looking for the offense to show some signs of improvement this week.
Yeah, it does look like Adams is going to play. He was practicing in full, so we'll have to challenge him, no doubt about it, keep an eye on him. But yeah, Jimmy G, he's a guy I think we can get to and really disrupt B-Rye if that pass rush can get through. And, you know, he's not the most mobile guy, so we got to pressure him. Hopefully we can count on a couple more turnovers from that defense. We're probably going to need it. And it would be nice. You know, it's nice that they take him back for scores. You know, they do all the hard work too. But even just giving the offense a shorter field, right, to hopefully punch some of these in, get a little confidence going, would be great. Yeah, I do feel pretty comfortable taking the Steelers on Sunday night. We kept our Monday night home winning streak alive, B-Rye. I'm not sure what the Sunday night or primetime statistics are, but I do feel pretty good about this one for sure. And I'm just big improvements from the defense as a whole. And I'm anxious to see what the highest paid defense in the league, right?
Right. So Tomlin at his news conference talked about seeing a noticeable improvement with the communication in the secondary specifically. And, you know, we'll see if Minka plays, but if he plays, I do expect them to continue to show that collective experience they've been gaining and gel on defense and make plays. Really, that's where the money's at. We got a lot of guys that are capable of making plays, and I think this is something we're going to have to do until the offense comes around. They're going to have to hold their end until we grow up a little bit on offense.
No question. Well, B-Rye, that was a quick recap. We'll keep it kind of shorter this week. We're humble here. We don't want to go on and on about how good we are after a win. You know what I mean? We'll keep it short and sweet. We got a little bit of a late start this weekend because you can find me on the Fantasy Funk House. I talked to Jerry and Maddie about the week 3 to come in fantasy football, so make sure you check that out. I think that's already dropped. And then also dropped today was Len and I. Invited Don Dawson into the living room to make our week 3 picks, and we actually talked a little bit of wrestling. B-Rye, did you see The Rock came back Friday night?
Yeah, I heard. That's pretty cool. What's he fighting, John Cena? Is that what's happening?
No, not yet. They were both there. Cena's actually back for a little tour of duty, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, he comes back every once in a while, and with, you know, they're both actors now officially. So with the strike going on, I think they have a little bit more free time in their schedule. The Rock was with McAfee, who was also there. McAfee is a WWE semi-regular now too, from Plum, Pennsylvania, Plum native. They were actually up in Boulder for the Coach Prime Buffalo game against Colorado State. So they made a short trip down to wherever SmackDown was, Colorado Springs or something like that. And big surprise, B-Rye. It's just another rivalry game. They just keep on coming. Browns, Raiders.
You gotta love it. And like I said in the preview episode, B-Rye, our schedule does start to open up here. And you look at the Bengals, you know, they're kind of sputtering. Burrow's a little bit injured. The Ravens, they're looking their part so far. But an early win in the AFC North, you can't complain about that. Sets us up good for the rest of the year, really. That's all we got to do is take care of business in our division. And we have some games on the schedule that are certainly winnable if this group continues to come together. B-Rye, any final thoughts here on either the Browns game or the game coming up on Sunday night against Vegas?
I think the timing's right. You know, we got the Raiders, who historically they have given us some trouble, but we should be able to beat them here. We should be able to get some confidence going, get the offense rolling. Week after that, you got the Texans. So I do like having those games leading up to our first bout against the Ravens this season. So really looking for some improvement here. Hopefully we can get the momentum going and go into Baltimore. Actually, is that a home game? Yeah, it is. So that'll be Akershore welcoming the Ravens that are for the first time at home. And, you know, hopefully by then we're ready to go.
So, yeah, we beat the Raiders last year. We played them in 21-22. They beat us at home in 21. We won last year, actually. That's what I thought. But we lost the two. We lost in 21 and 2018. So we actually, before the win last year at home, we had lost four out of the last five. Actually, eight out of the last 10 against the Raiders prior to the win last year. So that's where my bad feeling came. Overall, the Raiders lead the historical series 17 games to 14. So hopefully we can win one on their turf. Haven't won a game at the Raiders, whether it was Oakland or Los Angeles or now Vegas, in their place since 1995. So,
oh, wow. Yeah,
we're due. We're due for sure. Yeah. And it's our first ever visit to Vegas as a team. So,
well, that's a new area. So time to get it off in the right direction.
That's right. That's right. All right, B-Rye, anything else before we head out?
Nope. All good. Excited for Sunday night, baby.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for joining us for Bad News B-Rye. This is Mr. Just Right. We'll talk to you after this game, hopefully a win against the Raiders as we lead up to week four. Enjoy the primetime Sunday night matchup. Here we go, Steelers.